60. 56, Tuesday. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Currently, it's 36.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. A busy Friday night. Start off with volleyball, where the Huron Tigers back on the road as they visited Sioux Falls Roosevelt. Going by the power points, Huron was number 5 in the state. Roosevelt was number 7. But Huron made short work of Roosevelt last night, winning all 3 sets with fair ease, 25-15, 18-12. Huron pushed their record up to 14-6 on the season. Huron now with the weekend off. They will host Mitchell on Tuesday, the annual breast cancer awareness match at the arena. Area scores from last night. Bridgewater Emory defeated Sanborn Central Woonsocket in 5 sets, 12-25, 25-21, 18-25, 25-14, 15-12. DeSmit swept Iroquois in 3, 25-6, 11-12. Redfield Dolan topped Clark Willow Lake in 5 sets last night. Sully Buttes defeated Hitchcock Tulare in 5, 25-23, 25-23, 14-25, 20-25, 15-11. In a battle of teams ranked, a number 2 Class A Miller defeated number 5 Class B Ethan in 4 sets, 26-28, 25-16, 25-12, 25-20. Kimball White Lake defeated Wessington Springs straight sets 25-16, 16-8. In AA last night, Sioux Falls Washington defeated Mitchell in 4 sets. And out in Rapid City, they are playing a lot of volleyball. They have the East-West Invitational Tournament started yesterday, runs through today. It's 5 ESD schools, mainly along I-29, playing the 5 AA Black Hills schools. Brandon Valley defeated Douglas and Sturgis in 2 sets. Brookings defeated Douglas in 2, Rapid City Central in 3, and Sturgis in 2. Harrisburg defeated Spearfish in 2 sets. Rapid City Central defeated Brandon Valley in 3. Stevens defeated Harrisburg and Yankton in 2 sets. Watertown defeated Douglas, Rapid City Central, and Sturgis all in 2 sets. Yankton defeated Spearfish in 3 sets. And that's the rundown of volleyball from last night. State cheer and dance started in Brandon Valley High School last night, the Class A portion. Sioux Valley was the overall champion Class A cheer going away, 290.5. Dakota Valley runner-up at 246. Del Rapids 240, Dubrook 227 completes the top 4. Class A dance, Dakota Valley won going away, 282.5. Platte Geddes a distant second at 222.33. Winner 198.17. St. Thomas More 182.5, rounding out the top 4. Dakota Valley won or took first in all 3 of their divisions. Jazz, Kick, and Palm. Platte Geddes took first in hip hop. A look at the schedule for today. State cheer and dance continues in Brandon Valley. Huron Tigers in the AA meet today. Also, the state cross country meet takes place today at Yankton Trails Park in Sioux Falls. In a volleyball, the Warbird Tournament being held in Woolsey today. Matchups at 10 a.m. Woolsey-Wessington plays Centerville. James Valley Christian plays Hitchcock-Tulare. 11 o'clock, Centerville plays Leola Frederick. James Valley Christian plays Phillip. At noon, Woolsey-Wessington will play Leola Frederick. Hitchcock-Tulare will play Phillip. 1 o'clock will be the silver and bronze matches. At 2 o'clock will be the gold match. And again, that's all at Woolsey-Wessington School. Quick note here for Tiger Roar Booster Club. They're hosting a potluck for cheer and dance on Tuesday. That will start at 6 o'clock at the high school commons. Is open to the public. NBA last night, we had the Minnesota Timberwolves on the air. Home opener for the Wolves. Jimmy Butler was booed the first 4 or 5 times he touched the ball, but after getting a breakaway dunk, the tide turned fairly quickly. Butler ended up with 33 points, and the Timberwolves defeated Cleveland 131-123 last night. Coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday, very busy schedule. We'll be talking with Huron Tiger football coach Michael Schmitz, volleyball coach Shelley Budenhagen, cheer coach Whitney McDonald, dance coach Megan Smith, and cross-country coach Angie Thomas. That's all coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Hi, this is Tanner Evers, senior on the Huron Tiger volleyball team. Our annual Breast Cancer Awareness Night is Tuesday, October 23rd, when we will host Mitchell at the Huron Arena at 7. Our theme is We Can, We Will Conquer. The special t-shirts are now available. Contact any member of the Huron Tiger volleyball team to purchase one. Money raised will go to the Huron Regional Medical Center for Prevention and Treatment. Wear one of our We Can, We Will Conquer t-shirts or anything pink to the Breast Cancer Awareness Night at the Huron Arena on Tuesday, October 23rd.
You've got Dakota Sports.
Morning, everyone. First up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Shelley Budenhagen, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Tigers bounce back after a three-set sweep on Tuesday to do it themselves over Roosevelt on last night after losing to Watertown Tuesday. And Shelley, I think, you know, we've seen this, I think, at least twice now from this team come out, not a real great performance. I think back to Aberdeen at the end of September, bounce back, pick up a win the next time. And same thing this week, Watertown pretty much throttled us on Tuesday, come back against a strong, underrated Roosevelt team and controlled it from beginning to end.
Yeah, you know, I think our kids understand that there's value sometimes in failure, and we talked a lot about, you know, taking that experience from Watertown and trying to find the silver lining and getting better. And, you know, they were bound and determined. I think our serve receivers spent a lot of time with our ball machines, we call them, and we call them Martha and Bertha, that just fire balls at everybody. And we set those machines at different angles and just, you know, hunkered down, I guess, and concentrated on the serve-receive game, because we ultimately, for us, it's going to come down to serve and pass. And so then I thought we opened up the match and really set the tempo with our serving.
Yeah, I think I had us nine aces to their two, and even, well, obviously I felt we must have been serving a little more aggressively when they scored 12 points in the last set and half the points came off our service errors, which, one, you want to get those serves in, but two, we're also coming pretty hard with those serves.
Right, and so it pays off eventually. And, you know, we've talked about the high-risk, high-reward thing. And not only were we getting aces, and that, I told the kids, that's not the number one stat that I take. You know, so when I'm watching film, I'm watching to see how many times we're out of system. You know, and we got their setter moving. And I don't think their starting setter was there, which may have had a little bit of, you know, a little bit of what to, you know, reason why they weren't in rhythm a little bit. But I thought, you know, the serving is their first line of defense, but then blocking really has to take care of it. And I thought, you know, Emily Dale and Libby and Holly and McKenna really set the tone up there for blocking and did a nice job of right away, right off the bat, getting some really important touches and sendbacks. And, you know, I thought that the kids, you know, did their homework and knew the routes and were jumped on number 11, Leah Colts, right away, who's one of the top hitters in the state, and then also jumping the routes from the outside hitters. And so, you know, Sioux Falls Roosevelt is a good team. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with here coming down the stretch. And so that was a big notch in our belt. But ultimately it comes down to the effort, both mentally and physically, that our kids put forth. And, you know, the seniors, I think, really did a nice job of making sure that our kids stayed focused.
And, you know, you had some subtle tweets. You did a little, Matt experimenting there again coming in, and I think he had to like the results. You know, the things that stood out the most were the freshman Emily Dale getting her first extensive experience, and then Kylie Overbay serving, but then staying in and playing some back row. But those were the things noticeable. But there was a few other more subtle tweaks in there as well.
Well, you know, Elena's been doing a really, really good job, but I think, you know, it just is getting too much. It was getting too much for her, and we felt like one part of her game, the passing, was maybe affecting her hitting. And she's a very smart, quick, fast player, and this team's built on speed. But Kylie's had to transition, and it's not real easy. You know, I think maybe sometimes you look at, you know, if you compare it to football, I don't know if it's real easy to go from maybe a running back to a defensive lineman or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so she's got setting experience, and backup setters are, you know, there's a reason why backup quarterbacks in the NFL get paid a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They're invaluable, and Kylie's one of our best servers, and so all season she just keeps, you know, transitioning and learning how to pass and learning how to position herself on the left side compared to the right side, which is a whole different ball game. You know, as setters, you're on that strong side with the setters coming, or the hitters coming mm-hmm. at you really hard. And you don't have a lot of time, so your hands have to be ready to go up right away. But on the left side, it's a whole different ball game. And Kylie's been doing a great job of learning how to play different positions, whether it's middle back or left back. And we finally felt like she was in a position to succeed now that she's had enough repetition in her belt and practice. And I think she just made a decision that she wanted to play and get herself on the court more. And it's really, really nice that we've got two leaders on the court now, and Kylie's got a big presence on this team. And so I was really, really happy with Kylie and the success that she had last night. But then Emily Dale,
yeah,
you know, she's been going against Holly, and sometimes she has to block Tanner and Tyrese, too, in practice, and she's made a ton of progress. And we kind of threw in some old-style thinking. Remember the day that Caitlin and Anna were you know, mm-hmm. freshmen, sophomores, and all they had to do was just go in and block, and we call it height in the right. And so we just told Emily when we visited with her to see if she was up for this. Emily, all you got to do is hit block. Don't worry about it. Tenley's not going to give you a whole two lot of balls. You're not going to make a lot of errors. All you have to do is block.
Well, I mean, I can go back to that era, too, getting back to Kylie Overbay. I compare that a little bit to Brittany Roedert's transition yep. back 8 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're seeing some mm-hmm. I guess, some tradition
you go back to, yeah. you know, this worked last time. I think it can work again.
Right. And then you go back to even Taylor Roedert on that team.
Yeah.
Where she was 5'4", 5'5", on the outside, and we called it singles and doubles, and all that she had to do for us was hit singles and doubles and keep the ball in play. And so there's a little bit of echoing of that, too, with Elena. I mean, Elena's in there because of defense. And also, she's able to put balls sometimes because of her volleyball IQ, and she's just had to learn a whole different ball game. Imagine going, you know, from the level that she had to. But so last night she had some really important touches on blocks right off the bat, and then she was able to get some kills too as well. And so, you know, there's some echoing of that team back in the, you know, early, whatever
about
it was.
8 years ago, 2010. So.
Yeah.
And now as we look ahead here, you know, we're really in the stretch run of the season. What is there, four matches left, something like that? And one match week next week. And, again, that's kind of nice to get that break in, especially you got Mitchell coming in. So you would imagine everybody's going to be pretty focused on that, between one being Mitchell and two Breast Cancer Awareness Night. But then take a week, you know, get a week off after that. That's probably not a bad thing, especially coming off a Mitchell match, but of course depends how it goes too.
Well, you know, talking with the kids a little bit, I think they're tired at this point of season. Their bodies are starting to be tired, and mentally, I think it's been, you know, I don't want to say a long season because it's gone so fast, but we have to prepare really hard every single match, and that can get physically and mentally taxing. And so I think that break hopefully will be okay, that we don't take a breath. I mean, I remember a season two that we took a breath.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a breath, sometimes you forget a lot of things and you lose your momentum. But, you know, we've got to finish this big five-match stretch here. And, you know, we're not going to worry about the outcome of Mitchell. We're just going to worry about an effort and play one point and one play at a time. But then from there, one match at a time. And I think we're setting ourselves up, and I think our destiny is in our own hands and how we're going to finish out these PowerPoints. But we can't control the other teams. We're just going to control ourselves. And there's always room for improvement. And I think also what we're doing is we've got some depth built, that we've got some options now. If something isn't working, this matchup isn't working, we've got some options. And so I'm really happy with how this team has progressed and developed.
And just to wrap things up here quickly, speaking of the Mitchell Match Tuesday, Breast Cancer Awareness Night, you have a few t-shirts left to sell, and you'd like to sell them.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I'd like to drum up some enthusiasm for coming to the volleyball match on Tuesday. I think you're going to see a bunch of athletes, and I'm not going to say girls, but a bunch of athletes who compete really, really hard. And if you haven't seen a volleyball match, I'm going to tell you, it is an acquired taste. I mean, you know, Huron is basically a basketball town, football town. When you come to a volleyball match, it's an acquired taste. And when you really get to see how athletic it is, you're going to fall in love with the sport, I guarantee you. Because remember, I was a basketball person, and Pat Summitt was my hero, and I still really like basketball, but I fell in love with volleyball and the athleticism that is required to play the sport.
Well, the one name I'll bring up, a longtime football official, Ron White, he's at every match.
Absolutely, yeah. He is our number one. He and his wife, Karen, are number one fans right there. They travel, you know, and they don't have any skin in the
game.
There's
nothing invested there. They just like to watch, and they appreciate the game.
Yeah, and yeah, they're awesome and number one fans. But then the breast cancer match, you know, breast cancer awareness started out with volleyball or female sports a long time ago when October became the awareness month. And
volleyball started this whole pink thing in athletics.
Yep, it did, before the NFL took over and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, you know, it's for a great cause. We're making a lot of strides in breast cancer stuff. And I think 10 years ago maybe I was more naive because I didn't know the reality of this disease, but it's real and it's hitting hard. But yet, what's awesome is because of all these other foundations, and I think Susan G. Komen is one of the big names that you hear, we're making strides in this disease. And what I like is, you know, I think these women that we're going to honor, they're setting the tone for these young kids that are playing, and it's making it real for these kids, and I think developing the seriousness that these kids walk out with. But we get to honor some people. Mitchell's going to bring four or five and join in our rose ceremony. You know, so it's going to be awesome, and that these, we put a face to the name of what we see, and then the money that we get from these t-shirts. Number one, they're nice t-shirts, and you couldn't get them any cheaper in a store. But number two, the money stays here in Huron, and I really, really like that, and I want to thank HRMC for their support, and all the help that they have given us in this whole thing and in the project. And again, the money stays here. So if you're looking to donate money, it's a great cause.
Shelley Budnick and head coach here on Tiger Volleyball, again hosting Mitchell Breast Cancer Awareness Night Tuesday at the arena. We'll take a time out here, come back, talk some here on Tiger football next on Dakota Sports.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back here and Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk here on Tiger football with head coach Michael Schmitz. Tigers lose to Brookings. They'll close out the regular season 21-7. And on the road in the first round of the playoffs, once again to Harrisburg, which is just about becoming an annual habit, it seems like, in the playoffs here on at Harrisburg in the first round of the playoffs. And we'll get to that coming up shortly here. But first off, coach, on Thursday, you know, you had things where you wanted there. We felt like we had momentum and just that 2-minute span there, late third, early fourth quarter, they scored twice, and that was really all it took.
Yeah, really. I mean, we being down 7-0, I think, at half, and that wasn't, you know, that wasn't terrible. I mean, it would have been nice to keep them to nothing, but being able to keep it close like that, I thought we were in pretty good shape, and we had some momentum going into halftime and had some things squared away, and I thought, you know, coming out, we had a pretty good game plan of where to go.
And that was the thing, you know, we go down, we score, Jet McGurr, another nice long touchdown run, second week in a row, that gets it tied up, you feel like we have the momentum, and then just, I wouldn't call it a fluke play, but you know, they score a touchdown on, we have our cornerback in perfect position, but maybe jumps a hair early, and really it looked like a Kobe Bush catch is what it looked like, and they're a taller receiver able to pick the ball out and then just have the sideline, then a muffed kickoff, and they have a short field, and like I said, they score twice in 2 minutes, and boy, that's just tough to bounce back from.
Yeah, definitely, and that was a really good catch, too. I mean, our corner was in pretty good position, you know, jumped maybe a little, maybe a hair early, but I mean, still in really good position for a high school wide receiver. That's a really good catch to have to go over the top of somebody and try to grab it back from them. And so, that was a good catch, and we just couldn't quite bring him down. And then, yeah, after the kickoff to kind of muff that and set him up in good field position, that was, you know, a tough one.
And that's the thing, you know, it's just little things like that that come out at the end. Give Brookings credit. They, not so much the second touchdown to take the lead, but getting on that muffed kick and then, what, about a 22-yard field, 26-yard field, something like that, they made sure they took it down and scored.
Yeah, definitely. They were definitely prepared to try to punch that in, and they got us on that, and you know, that's just a tough one.
You know, and then to put it further, they were driving, trying to get back into the game. First, they get the pick where their defensive back just played it perfectly, and then they run out the last 7.5 minutes of the game, just kept coming straight ahead, and we just couldn't get a stop when we needed.
Yeah, and depending on what we do, you know, that's always a tough thing, is we're trying to bring as many kids to the line of scrimmage and be aggressive with it as we can, and they just were still able to kind of chunk yard on us, and you know, we'd make a couple good plays, and then they'd get us on one, and we just couldn't quite get off the field.
Now we go into the playoffs, and as I said, we go to Harrisburg. Now, earlier kickoff now, 6:30, not 7 o'clock, 6:30 kickoff next Thursday in Harrisburg. But, you know, it's 11-AA, it is a jumble. I mean, you had two tiebreakers that had to be instituted between Harrisburg and Brookings at 3-4 and between Huron and Sturgis at 6-7. And all these teams are 5-4 and 4-5. So I guess the big advantage Harrisburg has is the fact they get to play at home. But otherwise, I don't think there's a whole lot of secrets out on that field. I'm sure Harrisburg is thinking, you know, we should have done some things different when they came up here in September and we beat them 14-0. And we're thinking, you know what? We know we can play these guys.
Yeah, definitely. And we have a lot of things that we needed to change too from that game just to get better. And so it should be a pretty good game, you know, to see where we're at and see how this all shakes out. It's amazing how some of this kind of fell into play with, like you said, two tiebreakers, and then you really even look at the mess of AAA when O'Gorman gets beat by Brandon Valley. O'Gorman has the one seed locked in, they think, and now Roosevelt does.
Yeah, well, you know, it just goes down to those power crunches, and I still think, I mean, it wouldn't make much difference in 11-AA this year, but I still think record should matter more than what it does personally. The NFL goes record first, then goes to their criteria. South Dakota goes to their criteria first, and the record doesn't matter a whole lot, but that's a whole other story. But the bottom line is you get ready for Harrisburg. Obviously, that was, what, game three of the season, so both teams have changed some. I remember you made a comment a couple of weeks ago, Harrisburg is starting to air out the ball a little more, and almost sounds to me like they're a high-risk, high-reward. They beat Mitchell. The quarterback didn't have a very good percentage, like 10 of 31 or something, but he had well over 200 yards on those 10 completions.
Yeah, and I think it all depends on what they see on film scheme-wise. You know, I know Mitchell runs a little bit more man coverage on defense, and I think they were trying to exploit that. And then you turn around and watch Yankton's film, you know, their film with Yankton, and they do a lot more running again, kind of some swing passes out of the backfield, more short change stuff, but they'll still throw it deep, but I think it just kind of all depends, so we're going to try to get as much film as we can, or watch as much film as we can, and try to do what we can do.
And bottom line is, to wrap it up here, you know, it's playoffs. We were focused on getting that winning record. Didn't happen. Focused on getting a home game. Didn't happen. But you know what? We're alive. We have a chance. And 11 AA granted up here will be the favorite going in. They were a solid number one seed. But boy, it's anybody's ball game here moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. I think the playoffs are wide open. You know, everybody starts out 0-0 right now. Nobody has any record, I think, the first round of playoffs, and we've just got to put something together. And I think AA is going to be anybody's ball game week to week.
Michael Schmitz, head coach here on Tigers. Again, playoffs get underway on Thursday here on at Harrisburg. Again, an earlier kickoff time, 6:30. We'll have the game over on Tiger 95. We'll take a timeout, come back. Still lots to go here. We'll talk here on Tiger Cheer and Dance and Cross Country. All three of those sports have state meets coming up today. This is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Next up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're talking with Whitney McDonald, head cheer coach for the Huron Tigers. They're headed to state AA today at Brandon Valley High School. Huron both cheer and dance came up with runner-up finishes last week at the ESD. We'll talk about that here shortly. But first off, Whitney, give us a little bit of your background. I guess you're a Watertown Arrow, now turned Huron Tiger.
Yes, I was involved in the competitive cheerleading in Watertown my freshman year through senior year, and we were either state champions or ESD champions all of my years. Besides my senior year, we got second in both ESD and state, so that was kind of a bummer, but had a really great turnout, and I can't thank Christy enough for who she made me today.
And you can even go before that. You've been involved in cheerleading, it sounds like, pretty much since you were a very small girl.
Yes, I was involved in Dakota Gold with Renee Cummings, who is actually a judge. I was involved in her program from when I was just tiny until I could do the competitive in high school. So it's been in my life since I can remember.
Let's talk about you taking over the head cheer job, coach, here. You've been in Huron for a few years. I know you got married last March to a local guy. That's what brought you here to Huron in the first place, race car driver Tyler McDonald. But you've been looking to be involved with the cheer program for a while, and you kind of got it going last year as a volunteer assistant.
Yes, it was actually a really big blessing. Megan reached out to me, who is the dance coach, asked me if I wanted to be involved in the competitive cheer and dance program just to kind of volunteer and be a part of it. And I was so excited to finally be involved back in cheer. So last year I spent every single night and every single competition with them. And it was just super awesome. And then Brianna resigned, which was not, I was not expecting it. And so then I applied for it, and here we are today.
Let's talk about this season, and first off, you started, I believe, like July 30th, 31st, so the girls have been in the gym a long time here.
Yes, we started open gyms the week after state track was over, and there was not very many girls that missed open gym this year, and also just with practice and learning new skills and trying to advance our program, we did start practice officially on July 31st, and so we have been... The girls have been working very hard for where we are today.
And then the routines they do now, the girls come up with that themselves pretty much, right? Or is there a little assistance with that?
No, we hire a choreographer, a choreography coach, and we pay him to come up with the cheer and the routine and the stunts. And so we pay him, and he comes down. The girls have camp for 3 days. And so we have camp, and then they learn the routine, and then we practice it from then on.
Talk about your roster. You have 24 girls, and it goes from three seniors all the way down to a handful of middle school girls.
Yes, we have one seventh grader. She is awesome. And we also, half of our team is new, actually, this year. So it was really great bringing those girls in with our three seniors. They are such great role models, and I couldn't ask for them to look up to anyone else. And so it's been a really great season, and I'm glad that over half of the team is new, like I said. So all of those girls have that background and hopefully can lead us into some good seasons.
Again, we're talking with Whitney McDonald. She is the head cheer coach for the Huron Tigers, and they're getting set for the state AA meet today. Why don't you spotlight a little those three seniors, because obviously they got to be kind of an extension of you when they're out competing.
Yes, they have done a phenomenal job. I got the pleasure to meet them last year. Actually, Sarah Christensen, she went to Watertown, and so I knew her and her Pastor Tom through Watertown, so it was kind of cool to get to be able to coach her. And then Sylvia Katner and Brittany Nelson, all three of those girls are just so inspiring. They have so much faith and so much courage to all of the girls. They just have the right words to say to them and let them cool their nerves, and they're just wonderful seniors. They've been on this team for so long that they just have the right words to say, and they've just worked really hard to where they are today.
Now, as I've followed your scores this year, there's been a few peaks and valleys. There's been a few ups and downs, but obviously it was nice to have one of those ups on Thursday of last week when you went to the ESD at Harrisburg, got a runner-up. That was a nice deal for the girls.
Yes, the girls have performed very well this year. At the beginning of the year, we did have a little bit of struggle with our pyramid and a couple of stunts, but probably mid-season, we finally got that worked out. And the girls have performed very well. I just don't think that the results have performed. We haven't got the outcome that we deserved. There has been some talk about some rubric changes and everything for next year, but there has definitely been some competitions that we should have placed higher than we did. And so for that, as long as the girls, like I tell them, as long as they perform the best that they do and they give the best that they can give and we hit all of our stunts and do everything, I don't care what place we get, but there has definitely been some competition that we deserve to be higher than we were.
And bottom line is you have a chance to finish very high there, and really that ESD finish has to give you feeling a lot of momentum, a lot of confidence going into the state meet now at Brandon.
Yes, finishing second at ESD, and it was only by 2.5 points. So that was a really big bummer, and those girls did a phenomenal job on their routine. I couldn't be more excited for them. I'm not sure when the last time they placed that high, so it was super encouraging for not only me as a first-year coach, but also for the girls. I'm hoping that it's really hard to compete with those Sioux Falls girls that have some club cheer teams that they compete year-round, and they work on skills year-round when we don't have that flexibility here in Huron yet. And so finishing second place was awesome, and I'm super proud of the girls, and hopefully that we can stay with that momentum going into state this weekend.
Whitney McDonald, head coach of the Huron Tiger cheer team. Huron Tiger cheer and dance coming up next with their head coach Megan Smith on Dakota Sports KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And we're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking with Megan Smith. She's the head dance coach for the Huron Tigers, getting set for the state cheer dance meet to be held at Brandon Valley. And Tiger dance, just like cheer, coming off a runner-up finish at ESD last week in Harrisburg. And Megan, let's just talk about that first off. Obviously, that's a goal for the girls to win that conference title, and came oh so close.
Yeah, I was really proud of the girls, how they performed. I really didn't know what the exact results would be, but I always tell the girls that like as long as they give it their best and they do exactly what we've done in practice, the scoring and the ultimate, like, that's out of our control. That's in the judges' hands of how they thought we did. So I was really happy when the girls went out there and they just did exactly what we practiced with very minor mistakes that we just need to perfect before state comes on Saturday.
And as I recall, I think you finished first in one area, second in then the other two. Kick, I don't think Huron's ever been involved in that, but I had to be happy with those results as well. And, well, Brandon Valley just has a strong team. They're the ones that won the conference title.
Yeah, that's usually not a surprise when Brandon Valley wins ESD. But our hip-hop team has won the ESD title for the last 5 years, actually. And then I believe that we have placed second overall at ESD for the past 4 years now, if this wasn't the fifth year. I can't be exactly sure on that, but I'm pretty sure that's where we're at with that. But Jazz usually does well, and our POM, like, POM is usually our lowest scoring routine, and for POM to get second at ESD, that's a huge accomplishment for us, because that just means that our team is improving.
You said he had a roster of 17, and that includes a couple of alternates as well. Is that mainly high school girls, or do you have any middle school girls in there as well?
Yeah, I think our middle schoolers are just on cheer for this year. I think everyone on dance, except for we have a couple alternates who are eighth graders. But on dance, we have three seniors, just like in cheer, and then we have eight juniors, and those eight juniors I've known since their freshman year that we have eight of them, and I've seen their senior year coming around the corner. And so this year has been one of those years that we were trying to pull some younger girls over to the dance team to learn the technique of it and the other skills they need to achieve to be on the dance team, so that when we do lose those eight girls after next year's season, that it won't be completely starting over. So we're kind of like halfway in a building year, but still have enough leadership on the team that the girls can, they can learn from the girls that we still have. Our seniors, like Sylvia Katner and Sarah Christensen, have been on Jazz and POM, which are more technical dances. They've been on the team at least 5 years. And so they're really great to look up to for the younger girls when they're trying to learn the harder skills.
Now, one thing Whitney just said, too, is all of the dance girls are on the cheer team as well, and that got me to thinking now, is that something common, at least in AA? And according to you, there's getting to be less and less girls that do both disciplines, but yet we have a full dance team that is also on cheer here in Huron.
Yeah, most schools in the AA, if they do share girls, it's only a small handful. It comes down to most teams will just set a rule that they either do one or the other, and they can practice at the same time, where we share girls. And there's probably maybe four other AA schools that share girls, but it's not their entire dance squad. They either have, like, they have their dancers, and then a couple trickle over to the cheer side. So they still don't practice at the same time, but we just share our girls completely. So we run our programs together pretty much, and no other school does that as much as we do in the AA.
And really, it does make the season a bit of a grind for the girls. First off, I think you've been in the gym since, July 30th or 31st, and then it's basically two practices to go. That gets to be, 3 hours a day when you're not competing.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah, this is the earliest start that we've had on July 30th, since I've been coaching. And hopefully next year the calendar will roll back 1 week with Thanksgiving, because that's how it's all set. But they have been working for a full 12 weeks now, and they've gotten pretty much, they get an hour and a half of cheer and an hour and a half of dance every single day, if not a little more.
Let's talk about heading to a state here. As I said, that second place finish at the ESD last week. Hopefully that's something that kind of propels the girls here now as you go to your final event, really the main event.
Right, that's exactly what happened at ESD when we didn't really know exactly how we would fall. Harrisburg's program is new. This is only their second year, and they seem they seem to be better than they were last year, and we knew that that was going to come just with being a team so close to Sioux Falls with the clubs down there that they have. And so we weren't sure how ESC was going to fall, but when we did get second, you could just tell with the girls and on the bus ride home that that was super motivating for them to go and do well at state, and they just, I feel like they needed that extra push to get through these last 5 days of practice. So they're very happy with their results, but I also think they're really looking forward to just clean up the minor mistakes that we have so that our state routines are the best that they can possibly be.
Because really, and we'll just wrap it up with this, you're looking for that overall team title, but also you got your three different areas as well, and that's an accomplishment too. Can you win, say, your hip-hop or your POM? You know, that's kind of a little state meet inside the big state meet.
Yeah, it really is. And they, last year, or the last 2 years, we've placed fourth overall at state, and I would really like to see them do better than that, but you just never know how it's going to go either. But our POM last year placed seventh at state, and so to place second at ESC when there's only a few teams that could potentially beat us at that, I'm hoping to see that come up at state this year. Our jazz is very solid in the top five or so. And then our hip-hop at state, Sioux Falls, Washington always just has a fantastic hip-hop routine, and our girls are always very strong in that. But I always tell our girls that our hip-hop score always has to be super high to push to raise our overall when it's combined with the average of jazz and POM together so that our overall can be top four is our goal, because in cheer and dance, those are the only four team or four places that bring home some hardware.
Megan Smith, head dance coach for the Huron Tigers state meet today at Brandon Valley High School. One more break, then back with Huron Tiger Cross Country next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Wrapping it up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Angie Thomas, head cross country coach for the Huron Tigers. All cross country wraps up the season today with the state meet in Sioux Falls. Huron's actually been off for 2 weeks after not running the Roger Lecker last week, so go back 2 weeks to ESD. And Angie, talk a little on the results from ESD. Obviously, would like to have been a little better, got at least one or two all-conference runners, but a solid field, and we were working through a few injuries as well, and still the kids did pretty well considering the circumstances.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, we were really hoping that Sammy Schultz could have placed in the top 15 and been all ESD. She'd been nursing a knee injury, so she hadn't been running for a couple days, and she worked hard through it, through the pain, and just didn't place where she wanted to. And I know that was disappointing for her, but you know, I couldn't just focus on Sammy, because the whole team from sixth grade through seniors PR'd. Frank Hines ran in 18:19, and that's the fastest that he has ever run, and is really looking forward to running today, because he's like, I can get in the 17s. I know I can. I mean, that was the best I've ever seen Frank run. He was confident. He was strong. And then Will Radke. He went from running a 20-minute 5K to running an 18:27. He had an amazing race at ESD, and talk about somebody that just was in a zone. I can't take anything away from how well Will Radke ran. And Angel Olivo, he was the next one for us. He ran a PR. Gonzalo Quispe ran a PR. So did Spencer LaFortune. Carlos didn't have the best race. He was a little bummed about his race, but still a very respectable time. And, you know, all those boys will be running for me at state as well.
Well, let's talk about this past week now, and I guess the Roger Lecker, our last meet, home meet of the season, well, one of only two home meets most years, didn't happen due to the bad weather, and I guess probably just didn't want to put a lot of wear on the golf course. So good, bad, or otherwise, there, the fact that the kids are going 2 weeks in between here now.
Well, I guess we'll see. We've never had a full 2 weeks off before the state meet before. So, you know, I'm curious as to how the kids are going to run. Their legs should be well rested, that's for sure, because we have been tapering. And, you know, Brookings quit coming to our five-star event, you know, Roger Lecker meet. And they take the week off, and, you know, Lord knows they have some pretty good runners. So maybe there's something to taking a couple weeks off before this big meet. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it goes.
Well, state meet now will be at Yankton Trail, not your traditional golf course setting, I suppose, in Sioux Falls, but yet just like any other course, it has its own characteristics. And sounds like, for the most part, all our kids are at least familiar with it.
Yeah, most of the kids that I have running have ran this course. A lot of them ran it earlier this year at the Nike Heartland Preview. For the girls, the only two girls that haven't had a chance to run this course are Gwen Nichols, she's a freshman, and Tatum Peterson, the seventh grader that I moved up to fill our girls team. Those are the only two that haven't run this course yet, you know, and I think they'll be fine. They know that their job is, you know, they came up to fill a team, stepped up for us, they ran under 24 minutes, which is what I said they had to run if they wanted to run at state, and they both did. They both ran 2 to 3 minutes faster than what they ran a 5K at Andy's in September. So, you know, these girls are hard workers, and they're just going to get out there. I have to get them to not be so scared when they're standing on the line with 107 other girls on the line with them. But that's when our veterans, Sammy Schultz, who's a senior, and hopefully she's rested that knee enough where she's just going to go out there and get after it. That's where she's going to step up and help those girls out. And Braylee Thomas, our only junior, and then Tori Buffington, calling our eighth grader a veteran runner. But, you know, she ran last year a great state meet for us, and hopefully she runs another great state meet this year as well. And Braylee had an amazing ESD race. She PR'd by at least 30, 40 seconds, and felt really good after that race at ESD. So, you know, we have some high hopes for our girls and our boys to run a PR, and there's always that hope that we can get somebody in the top 25, and right now our best chance at that looks like it's either Sammy Schultz or Frank Hines, and you never know, Will Radke even has a good chance of making that top 25. It just depends on what they're going to do for us.
Then one last thing to bring up, too. I was looking at the order of the running this year, and I think this is a change that actually started last year. If I remember right now, this year, the three boys' races are first. Of course, you got all three classes there, boys and girls, and a little different race order. Again, as I said, I think all three boys are first, if I remember right, and so it does make for a little different way to watch it, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I like this. I like the fact that they're mixing it up a little bit so it's not the same. You know, there's wear and tear on the courses no matter where you go. And it was always, you know, when I first started coaching, the AA boys were always last. So if you had a soggy course, by the time the AA boys ran, it was pretty chewed up, eaten up, slick. So I think that's why they kind of got away and said, you know, we need to start rotating this around a little. So I think this is a good thing. I know the boys were like, really? We run at 1 o'clock and the girls don't run until 2:30. So they were pretty excited to get their race done and over with, and they get to cheer on the girls now knowing that their race is already done. So yeah, I'm excited for it. I hope it turns out good.
And to wrap it up here, we come to an end of another cross-country season this year. I know you were happy with the amount of work the kids put in over the summer, and face it, we put a lot of pressure on our kids. We want everybody to be multi-sport athletes, and a lot of kids are going different directions, but the bottom line is these kids really worked hard to get here to today.
You know, they really did. I cannot express how proud I am of all my Tigers, 6th through 12th grade. I had a handful of middle school kids that ran over the summer with me as well. And, you know, having so many of these older kids run with me, what a great, great role model they have been for the younger ones. And they're, you know, I just can't tell you enough how proud I am of the whole team, especially the senior leaders that we have. And, you know, this is their last meet. It's going to be sad to see them go, but they've been great role models for the other kids.
Angie Thomas, head coach here on Tiger Cross Country. State Cross Country is today. Starts at 12 noon, Yankton Trail Park in Sioux Falls. That wraps up Dakota Sports Saturday for today. We have Mike Hendrickson and the Sports Max coming up shortly. Up next, Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Molly James for the Territorial Rodeo Update's Top 5 Countdown. We are a little less than 50 days away from the 2018 National Finals Rodeo in Las Wages, Nevada. No, I can't get you tickets. I would suggest buddying up to the family of a contestant, then begging. Hey, we'll take a look at the top 5 at each event after this word from the world-famous Linscove Ranches. Cattlemen, it's time you took a look at bred heifers featuring the famous Linscove Field Genetics. Linscove Ranch bred heifers are famous for their quiet disposition and calving ease and are weaned, developed, and bred at the Linscove Ranch and summered on native grass in South Dakota. Take your pick. Black Angus, Black Baldy, or Red Angus heifers featuring proven genetics like LT Enterprise, LT Landmark, and LT Tioga. Call Bryce Linscove at 605-850-3887 or visit linscoveranches.com. Ranch bred heifers backed by years of genetic selection. Now then, y'all, from PRCA World Headquarters, Colorado Springs, CO. Hearken now as we present the top 5 in each event in the world of pro rodeo going into the NFL. Razor, lock this bad boy down, and let's get it on. Bro and Loss, Tough Cooper and T-Bra in a knife fight for the all-around. Whoa! Barebacks, Iowa's two-time world champion Tim O'Connell going for number 3. Followed by Caleb Bennett of Utah, Clay Bigelow of Cali, Oren Larson of Manitoba, and Texan Bill Tudor, respectively. Nebraska's Stephen Dent chillin'. Lay back. With my mind on my money and my money. Murdogan. Alberta steer jumpers Kurt Casty and Scotty Gunther go 1-3. Tyler Pearson and Will Loomis of Mississippi go 2-5. Montana Slamma Ty Erickson bias lonesome in the four hole.
Look at him. He's so cute and all alone. Can we keep him?
Team Rope and Headers, Oki Claysmith up front, literally. Then Driggers, Egyesquia, Tryon, and Snow. On the heel side of the horn beastie, Junior Nogueira, Presidente Prudente, Brazil, Numero Uno, Eves, Kuntz, Harrison, and Yates of Colorado round out the top 5.
Holy frijoles!
Saddle Bronx, Texan Jacob Scrawley been on top all year long. Rider Wright of Utah, 3K back. Texan Isaac Diaz, 3rd. Rooster Wright of Utah, 4 spot. World champ Zeke Thurston lurking 5th. Crest, Sundell, and Shear all in the top 10. Come on now. TDR, tie down rope in Louisiana, Shane Hanchy is the man. Then Tough Cooper, Tyson Durfee, Jake Pratt, and Riley Smith in that order. Cooper Martin of Kansas hanging 7.
Do it.
Bumper Barrels, Texan Haley Kinzel is the lady. Nellie Miller of Cali, 40K back. Britt Poteau of Texas, 3rd. South Dakota's Lisa Lockhart, 4 spot. Texan's Stevie Hillman, number 5. South Dakota's Jessica Routier will go in the 8 hole. 4-8. Man's game. Okie Sage Kimsey going for gold buckle number 5. Montana's Parker Redding, 110,000 back. Dustin Bouquet, 3rd. Idaho's Roscoe P. Jarbo, 4th. Oregonian Chase Doherty rises to the ranks to number 5. Big thanks to our sponsors at Linscove Ranches and Sioux Steel Company. Props to producer Mitchell G., office manager DND, and this great American radio station. Monty James on the rodeo trail for the TFC.
The folks at Premier Equipment wish you a safe and prosperous harvest in 2018. If you want to cut your harvest time in half, take a look at the all-star lineup of McDon Harvest Equipment, including corn and draper heads, and their industry-leading M-Series windrowers. Before you even think of buying elsewhere, hit up PremierEQSD.com for the best pricing on McDon equipment available. The Linscove family, owners of Premier Equipment, is out harvesting too. And from their family to yours, they wish you a safe and bountiful harvest season.
It is that time. We get together once a week, and we talk a little bit about real estate. Now, remember, if you would like to sell your home, you got maybe a farm you'd like to sell, you got a business, you just got some ground, hunting ground, farm ground, just a lot to build a house on, whatever you're looking to sell, they can help you sell it at the Real Estate Connection. If you're looking to buy a home, you've been paying rent for so long, you're paying somebody else's bills with that rent, pay your own bills, buy a home through the Real Estate Connection. You can buy, you can sell, you can upgrade, you can downsize, whatever you're looking to do, they will help you out. You can call the Real Estate Connection at 352-1300. You can stop down and see them, Dakota Avenue South in Huron. You can call this guy, Reg Kleinsasser, directly, 350-2223. Give him a call at the Real Estate Connection. I'm telling you, this guy will fix you up. I thought, there's no way that I can buy a house. I went bankrupt not that long ago. I'm not kidding. I mean, seriously, that all went down. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. But Reg comes in every week, and he says, hey, talk to this guy. Talk to this guy. See what he can get done. This is not how it went down? This is exactly how it went down, right?
This is exactly how it went down.
And that guy, who if you want Reg to get you in touch with that guy, you got to get a hold of Reg. That guy came back with, yeah, let's buy a house. And Reg found us a house. It was amazing. That's how it works. It is really that easy. And remember another thing. No matter what the sign in the front yard says, you can work through Reg at the Real Estate Connection. They call it the multiple list service. Whatever that sign says on it, if that house is for sale, you can give Reg a call. He can hook you up. How's that for an intro?
That is an intro.
That's above and beyond there, huh?
That is way above and beyond.
Seriously, though, I'm telling you, you want a home, you're paying somebody else's bills when you pay all that rent. You've been paying rent at $500 a month for 10 years. You know how much money that is? That's 60 G's, kids. $60,000. That's half a house right there, depending on what's your price range is.
It's huge, Matt. You're absolutely right.
Telling you, people, buy a house. So we get together with Reg once a week to talk about some properties. Let's sell them a house. Reg, what do you got today?
Hey, we've got a couple price reductions we want to talk about, and we're going to talk about another opportunity that is a rental situation that you maybe want to look at, too. We've got a price reduction, though, at 1105 Minnesota Southwest. This is a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home. It's got over 2,800 square feet of living space, and it has had a very nice price reduction. It's now listed at $149,900. It was $159,900. Now it's $149,900. So a great opportunity. If you're looking for a large home, this is kind of a, over there on Minnesota, it's got some space around it. It's not real tight, not real close in to other homes. It's kind of a nice, spacious area there. So check it out, 1105 Minnesota Southwest. Matt was talking about renting. If you are renting a commercial space right now, this is a great opportunity in a prime location, 1560 Dakota Avenue South. This is the little chiropractic building beside Pro-PT. And you've got off-street parking. You've got about almost 1,600 square feet of space. If you're paying rent now in your commercial space at $115,000, you want to take a look at this, because you could be paying yourself. You could be building equity. Great little property, commercial property at 1560 Dakota Avenue South. Stop paying rent. We also want to look this morning at a couple other price reductions. We've had some pretty good price reductions lately in town. 1668 Ohio Southwest, that's three-bedroom, two-bath, almost 2,000 square foot home, all on one level, has been reduced to $224,500. We've also got 1805 McDonald Drive. If you need some space, this home has over 4,500 square feet of living space. It is a beautiful brick home on the corner of 18th and McDonald Drive. 1805 McDonald Drive. It's all brick, maintenance-free on the exterior, 4,576 square feet, and it's just had a price reduction to $229,900. This is a steal if you figure the square footage on this house. Very, very nice home. Check it out, 1805 McDonald Drive. A couple other price reductions we want to talk about. One on Riverview Drive. This is 1535 Riverview Drive. just had a major price reduction. This is a 2006 built home, built by Benny Botel, so it's a very high quality home. Almost 3,700 square feet of living space, four bedrooms, four bathrooms, a nice oversized attached garage. It's been prices reduced to $329,900 for a modern, well-built, custom-built home, brick front on Riverview Drive. Drive by and take a look at it. 1535 Riverview Drive, price reduced to $329,900. And the last one we want to talk about this morning is business opportunity. If you're looking for maybe getting into business for yourself, this is currently a restaurant, the Burger Plus location, 2025 Dakota Avenue South. This is a prime location. It's got tons of space for parking. It's got really everything. Location, location, location. Lots of parking space. Maybe you don't want to run a restaurant there. Maybe you have another business that you'd like to open there. Everything is still the same. Great location, great opportunity. Give us a call. We can tell you a lot more about the specs on the property. But 2025 Dakota Avenue South, Burger Plus, give us a call. We'd love to work with you if you're thinking about buying or selling. Give us a call. We can do a market analysis for you, give you an idea of what similar homes to yours have sold for recently, and we would just love to work with you.
Real good. We will send them your way. Remember, you got a couple options here. You can stop down. The office is on Dakota Avenue South in Huron. You can call the office at 352-1300, or you call Reg directly at 350-2223. Get yourself a home, sell yours, hunting ground, farm ground, a business, a farm, whatever you got to buy or sell in the world of real estate. Give Reg a shot at the Real Estate Connection. Well, Reg, thanks for stopping by. You have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
You bet. Thanks, Matt. And we'd like to welcome all the hunters into town. Sounds like it could be a good year for pheasant hunting, and wish everybody a good luck on hunting and have a great time.
Looks that way. All right. Well, thanks for stopping by. Have a great weekend.
You bet. Thanks, Matt.
Reg Clients.